Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, titled, Be Ye Doers of the Word. This is Pastor Greg, and I invite you to join us in our ongoing verse-by-verse study of the book of James in the King James Bible. And if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send your message using the U.S. Postal System, along with any check or money order contributions that you would like to send to support this ministry, by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at our website, bbfohio.com, using the PayPal donation button. And as you scroll down to see that button near the bottom, you'll see our playlist of the various books of the Bible that we've studied through the years. All those messages are available in video and audio format, MP3. Downloading is free of charge. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, titled, Be Ye Doers of the Word. This is part one of two.
Current events update. Death notice. Some of you have watched some of the archaeological specials in recent years and seen this lady, Eilat Mazar, or Mazar, I'm not sure exactly. Heard it pronounced both ways. They referred to her as the Queen of Jerusalem Archaeology. And I don't know why or how, but she has passed away at the age of 64. It says, Eilat Mazar, or Mazar, a non-religious archaeologist who dug with a spade in one hand and a Bible in the other, died on Tuesday, May 25th, at the age of 64. And what's her claim to fame? According to Christianity Today, Mazar uncovered the ruins of a palace considered to belong to King David. She discovered a gate connected with King Solomon. She discovered a wall thought to have been erected by Nehemiah. She discovered two clay seals that, not the or seals, but the seals, you know, like that named the captors of the prophet Jeremiah. And also a seal that names King Hezekiah, seals actually, and a seal that may have belonged to the prophet Isaiah, all during her 5 decades digging in the Holy Land. She started as a teenager. Sadly, she accepted the Bible as an historical source, but not the biblical gospel. And I want people to be aware of that because, like I said, you may see her on documentaries and interviews. Don't get the wrong idea, though. She was not a Bible-believing Christian. Mazar, dubbed the Queen of Jerusalem Archaeology, took the Bible seriously as a historical text and argued with academics who believed that paying too much attention to Scripture was unscientific. So that's good, but that's not good enough. Mazar stated that she was not religious, but would pore over the Bible, reading it again and again, again and over, because, quote, it contains within it descriptions of genuine historical reality, end quote. She entered eternity without faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that to in any way try to instigate any bad feelings toward her, or I doubt that anyone she knows is going to watch this study. But the point is that the Bible is a historic book. It is historical. But you have to believe what it says about you, that you are a sinner and that your sin is against a holy God. And you have to believe that God was manifest in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, sinless, and died on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for your sin, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So you have to believe those scriptures, and you have to believe the message of salvation, the gospel, in order to be saved. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people who give lip service to the Bible, but they don't really believe what God says about salvation. And that's a sad thing. John 3:16 is a very well-known verse. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For clarification, it goes on to say in verse 17 that for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it further clarifies in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you haven't believed on Jesus for your eternal salvation, people ask, what do you have to do to go to heaven? You have to believe the gospel. Having repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you go empty-handed to God and say, I can't do it. I trust what Jesus has done for me. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. If you reach the point where you are conscious of your sin, and God at that point, the Bible says, begins to use everything from creation and your conscience and the preaching of the gospel to bring you to faith. And if you do not believe on Jesus, you're already set and ready to go to hell. And so people think, oh, the really bad people go to hell. There's going to be some people that we think of as good people who are going to go to hell because they reject that gospel. So here's 1, 2, 3 headline reviews in the news. Number one, Biden's budget replaces the phrase pregnant women with, quote, birthing people. These people are absolute morons. To change pregnant women to birthing people. Folks, the end is near. Number two, former BLM leader speaks out against Black Lives Matter. He says it shows little concern for rebuilding black families. This is a black man, and he's just telling the truth. Black Lives Matter does not benefit the black community in America any more than the Democrat Party does when they promise to take care of black people, and they don't. What they do is they set up the abortion clinics in black neighborhoods so they can kill all the black babies. And they're killing the babies and they're killing the young people because they're not pushing for the family. They're pushing to destroy the family. And they actually had on their website at one time that stated flat out they wanted to destroy the so-called nuclear family. Well, that just meant mom, dad, and kids. And so some people are wising up as that black lives do not matter to Black Lives Matter as an organization nor to the Democrats. And that's a fact. And that's why the best black men in America are speaking out on this. You have Ben Carson, Clarence Thomas, J.C. Watts, Alan West. I mean, on and on, these great Americans who happen to be black. They're trying to wake people up to the fact that the black American community is being used. Candace Owens, yeah, there's some really good men and women out there. But I've also said this to offend the other side of the political party. White Americans have been used by the Republican Party for decades. The Bushes and the Romneys and the McCains, they aren't one of you, they aren't one of us. They just want your vote so they could get the power and then abuse it. And that's why they all become elected politicians making supposedly $100,000 a year or something. And within 5 years, they're multimillionaires. I can do the math. Let's say it's $100,000 a year in 5 years, that'd be $500,000, not several million. So our politics, both parties messed up big time. And finally, number three, researcher tied to Wuhan lab thanked Dr. Fauci for dismissing the lab leak theory. It's something to keep your eye on, and I haven't seen the exact way that he said it, but the report is that a guy named Peter Daszak, D-A-S-Z-A-K, who's pictured with his diaper on, the president of the EcoHealth Alliance, sent Fauci an email to on April 18th thanking him for steering the public toward the natural bat-to-human theory for coronavirus origins. So we're going to have to see what that involves, because if he's thanking him for helping him cover it up, that's criminal. So there you go. There's much more to come out exposing these wicked people, and we'll just keep our eye on it. We'll keep reporting it. James 1, 21 to 25, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. James 1, 21 to 25. And we're going to read those verses. I'm going to have you read the odd with me, so that'll mean you'll jump right in there, verse 21. I'll give you a second to get there. James chapter 1, we're going to pick right up with verse 21 through 25. Read the odd with me, beginning now. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in... I'm sorry, let me mess that up. That's my fault. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen? For those of you online, we ate pizza, and my mouth is not recovered. I'm up here. So... our text begins with a very clear call to repentance. Did you see that? In verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Say that with me. Superfluity of naughtiness. One more time. Superfluity of naughtiness. That just sounds so English.
Yes.
Superfluity of naughtiness. But the words are very superfluous is the word we use more often than superfluity, but it's the same idea. And I don't think any of us need to be told what naughtiness is.
You had the bloody right to say that.
Oh, you're getting in trouble with Jill. She has a bad idea about what that means. So I don't agree with her. I believe that it's a good English term, but Jill will fight with you over it. So we'll let you duke it out later. That's her mom's thing, and I'm sorry. Your mom, I love her, but I think she's wrong about it. I did a little research on it. But yeah.
So, what does superfluity mean?
Superfluous means like an overabundance.
It's not necessary.
Yeah, and unnecessary. That's good too. Yeah. Yeah. And overkill. This would seem to teach that sin keeps us from salvation. You see, he's saying, in order to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul, what's he say first? Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's what he would... Do you agree with that? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
You see, most of the time, when you want to understand the Bible, you don't interpret it. You don't need to. You just need to understand what it says. There's no real interpretation involved. You know, if I say, would you please get me a glass of water? And then, and I asked Johnny. And he comes up later and he hands me a clear glass and it's green. That doesn't look like water, Johnny. Well, it's liquid. I didn't ask for liquid. I asked for water. What is this? And he'd say, Mountain Dew. And I went, I don't want Mountain Dew. I wanted water. See, there is a difference between the words water and liquid, right? Well, that's what gets people in trouble in the Bible a lot of times. They read the Bible and they see a word and they don't bother to find out exactly what it means. And then they go off wrong because they think they know what the word means. And wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Do you all know what that means? I think you do. Yeah, I figured you did. So scripture was scripture. Look over at John. Wait a minute. We already read those verses. Yeah. But we didn't read verse 19. So go to John chapter 3 and remember what we just read in the current events update. Verses 16, 17, 18. And speaking of those who are condemned if they don't believe on the name of the Son of God. Those who are not condemned who do believe. And then he's going to tell you why. Why do so many people not believe? You know, Jesus said that the way to destruction was the broad way. And the way to life was the narrow way. And few there be that find it. Why is that? He explains here in verse 19, and I'll give you a little hint. It has nothing to do with unconditional election. It doesn't have anything to do with God only choosing to save a few because he just decided to only save a few. You know why God only chooses to save a few? Because only a few believe. See? And why is that? You there, verse 19 with me?
Yes.
Read that with me. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. See, Jesus is saying exactly what James is saying. He's saying that the men who hear the gospel and walk away without receiving it, they've got some kind of sin. Now, it may not be sexual sin or drunkenness or drug abuse, or it may just be pride. It may just be they're too proud to admit they're a sinner. They're too proud to admit they can't earn their way to heaven. Too proud. And you know why? That's why I said there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. Because when what we call good people are people who they're not breaking the law. They're not murdering, raping, stealing. They obey the laws. So in our eyes, they're good, but they're not good. First of all, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. We're all have sinned. How many is all?
All.
All. That's why we want everybody that ever comes here to understand nobody here is better than anybody else. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The one that deserves our praise is the one who saved us, and that's Jesus. No one else deserves any praise. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But those who will admit that they've sinned, that's the first step. Once you'll admit that what your sin is sin. See, what people do is they'll make excuses and say, well, that's not really sin. Or it's not that bad. Or there's a lot worse than me. It doesn't matter. You're setting the bar way too low. The standard is Jesus. He's the only sinless person to ever walk the earth. The standard is God and God's holiness. And if you fall short of that, join the rest of us. We need a Savior. Amen. Even Mary, when she was told that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, what'd she say? She glorified God, my Savior. Why? Because she was a sinner like you and I, needed saved. Only Jesus didn't need a Savior. Every other human being who ever lived needed a Savior. But the majority, the mass majority, will never admit it, and that's why they will never be saved. And John 3:19 says they love darkness rather than light. And you say, well, I know so-and-so, and I just don't believe that about them. You know when you'll change your mind? Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, when everything's laid out, you'll see they loved darkness rather than light. The modern rejection of repentance is a major cause for the apostasy that we're seeing today. They're producing what, for lack of a better term, you could call false converts. They're producing people who will say, oh, I prayed with a preacher, or I went to the altar, I was baptized, you know, whatever they say, I asked Jesus in my heart. Well, wait a minute. Did you believe how that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, according to the scriptures? All I remember is asking Jesus in my heart. Where does the Bible ever say you're saved by asking Jesus in your heart? And there are preachers by the thousands who have gone around door to door selling a bill of goods, not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. And I've told the story of a fellow I rented off of. He happened to be a Freemason. And I found that out, and I thought, wait a minute, this is weird. I was a brand new Christian. I still wasn't. Now I know what that means. And he was bragging about how many people he led to the Lord. And I said, well, what did you do? I wanted to learn from him. And he said, well, I asked him, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Would you like to be saved? And they say, well, yeah. Well, bow your head and pray with me. And he'd recite this prayer and say, dear Lord, I ask you to come in my heart. Thank you for saving me. Amen. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, I said, you didn't really present the gospel. He says, no, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I looked at him and said, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said, well, if you want to go that route. See that? And that's going on all over the place, folks, so that they can brag about, I'm a soul winner and I led 10,000 people to Christ last year. Really? Right in your own town? Yep, right in Columbus, Ohio. And your church has how many people on Sunday? 30? But you're leading 10,000 people to the Lord every year and none of them bother to come to church or anything. Could that happen? Possibly. But it's not going to happen very light. Let me tell you, when I got saved, I couldn't wait to get to church. I couldn't wait to be baptized. I knew baptism didn't save me, but I couldn't wait to be baptized. I just believe there's something lacking in a profession of somebody who don't go to church and don't want to get baptized and don't want a Bible, don't want to read the Bible, don't have any desire to learn how to pray and all that. Well, that's what you get when you preach a gospel that is lacking a clear presentation of the gospel and calling on sinners to repent. Amen. And that's what most so-called soul winners today do. And it's producing churches filled with a bunch of unsaved people who hear the word but don't do it. Hearers only. Verse 21 back in James 1 says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So we talked about this actually in a previous our previous study when in verse 18. It's too close. I was looking up higher. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And we had two studies out of that. We looked at what it meant. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Then we looked at what it meant to be a kind of first fruits of his creature. But if you reject the word of God as the word of God, you cannot be saved. And that's a real tough one for people to get. But let's look at it again. Some of you say, oh my, I've probably looked at this with you 10 times, preacher. Well, get ready. If you stick around long, you'll look at it 10 times more. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 1 Thessalonians 2, I think this is one of the most important single verses in Scripture in this day and age we live, to understand this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And have a drink of my tea with milk. If Jeannie Alba is watching out there, she'll be very... Cheers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. If you there, read it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now look at that. Look at your Bible. It says they...